Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Let's read right here in Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, please. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Before I read on, I'll say this, that when we read these scriptures like this, we know we're looking at a prophetical utterance, so speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. But then yet we should be reading this thing and applying it to who we are in Christ, how we are walking in Christ. You understand what I'm saying? We need to look at this and see our life. And if we can't see our life, then there's a problem if we call ourselves a Christian. Christian means to be Christ-like. So we look for the likeness of his life here, and then we got to compare to see. If you were a great scholar or theologian or just a very intelligent individual, and you could read all about the life, and you could say, I could understand the attributes of this God or this Lord Jesus. I could understand his life. I could understand where he walked, the way he walked, and you could have all this. But the deal is, can you look at it and analyze it to you? Is this me? Am I reading here about my life? You see, if you're bone and flesh of his flesh, we're now reading about you, about your appearing, about your coming, about your life. And if you can't see your life in this, then that means to examine yourself, to look and analyze. And there's not a one of us sitting in here, including myself standing here, that has come to such a place that we don't do this or should be doing this. If we get to a place that we're not doing that, we're in a very dangerous place. Let's read on here. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Now, if I say to apply that to yourself, I've had people get their dimensional things crossed up. You see, sometimes a man could sacrifice and go without because he's sacrificing things of pleasure, things of this world, and he's going without. And then there's another man that could be going without because God is chastening him and reproving him and blowing on everything he touches. And that man could stand up with his hands boasted, go, oh yeah, this is where I'm just like Jesus. No, he's not. He's nothing like Jesus, nowhere whatsoever at all. You understand how we have to rend these veils? I've seen people, you know, being persecuted and things because of their ignorance, not because of the spirit and the mind of Christ in them. They were going through persecutions and rejections and different things because of their ungodliness. But then they want to convert it into their mind that this is what happens because I'm a son of God. Again, we're always having to rend veils and try to perceive and understand. And again, it comes to sensitivity of the Spirit of God. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows. Again, I'm reading verse 3. Acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And when we read these scriptures, we got to again apply it. Oh, I don't receive that. I never turned away from God. Don't we wish we had that kind of testimony? Don't I wish I had that kind of testimony? See, this is why we have to apply the scriptures and the word. You know, there's an exhortation going forth, and then there's a strength going forth. There's a lifestyle going forth that we're reading about, of where we should be. If we're always looking for our way, if we're always looking for what's good for us, that's not in Christianity. When your little world is so soft and so sensitive and so little precious and so powder puffy and so, you know, fragile, when you walk around offended all the time because somebody's offended you or somebody said something you don't like or somebody did something, man, where are you at? Examine, look, where are you at? I mean, Christians are not these little lukewarm, soft, sissy, jellyfish kind of people. I mean, we got to have some strength. We got to endure hardship like a soldier. The Bible says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and he is the life. But when we turn to our own way, and man is so deceitful, and Satan is so cunning, that we want to take and make our way God's way. And we press for this. We want to press a little world around us and make everybody think, well, this is God's way. And we want to make our life, our activities, our duties, our shortcomings, our failures, and we want to do all these things and make it God's way. Well, this is the way God is. This is the way Christians are. This is the way we're supposed to live. This is the way we're supposed to do. But again, as we started speaking, we're talking about sensitivity to the Spirit. And you know, the thing is when we want to lock things into some kind of an intellectual concept, say, well, this is God's way. I'm telling you what, we need to be Spirit-led because it's different. If you even listen to the way Jesus spoke, there would be times that he spoke with such an authority and such strength and such power, and you wouldn't even sense or discern any kind of a weakness at all in him, because he would speak by the magnitude and the strength and the power of all heavens and all strength and authority. But then yet in another time, you would hear him speak as the man. He rended the veil. Well, I'm whoever you say that I am. My God, why hast thou forsaken? Is it possible that this cup would pass from me? You see? Now the God, you know, when we rend this veil, we know that the God part knew that this cup wasn't going to pass. He done knew it long before he found himself in the Garden of Gethsemane praying there. He knew it. He already told him what was going to happen. So there was a man that was crying out there that had to receive power and strength. And this is where we're at. We got to learn to differentiate these two and bring one of them to strength. Verse 7, it says, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. As a lamb to the slaughter and a sheep before the shears is dumb, silent. Not speaking. So open not his mouth. Has the Lord ever put you in places that you were ever so right? You could have opened your mouth to stop. Now think about this. Have you ever been in a place that you were being accused or even chastened or reproved or rebuked and you were innocent and all you had to do was open your mouth and it would have just put it to nothing and the Lord told you to shut your mouth and just to receive it? I could share some testimonies with you. I said, have you been there? Now, do you think that Jesus was in a place like that right then? Don't you think he could have spoke up? There's no truth in you. This isn't the truth. I'm innocent of all these allegations. These men are the ones that are lying. He could have called down a host of angels. He could have spoke the very breath out of their lungs, but he was silent. And I find that sometimes in our Christian walk, in our Christianity, we're too fast and too ready to defend ourselves. There's times that we receive the allegations, the accusations, the persecutions, the tribulations, and we suffer silently because it shows something. It shows that that man is under subjection, that he's dead, he's buried, he's hid away, and he's gone. And there's times that the Lord will prepare that individual's heart to do that very thing. When the Israelites looked over their shoulder and they seen the dust and the sound of the chariots of the Egyptians' army pursuing them, I thought, oh, where you at, God? God's the one that put them on their trail. Their steps were ordered by the Lord. Pharaoh's was, that Egyptian army was. God was having his way in it. And so oftentimes we, as Christians, you would be surprised how many times we contribute things to Satan and think it's Satan, and it's a lack of us discerning, it's a lack of us walking where we need to be in God. And there's times that we're saying this is nothing but the devil and it's Satan, but it is the Lord that has allowed it. And you're right, it is satanic, but the Lord allows it. He allows the darkness, he allows the evil, he allows those hardships and things for you to perfect, to endure hardship, that you could come to a perfection of what a crucified way is. You could look at the importance of the crucified life of Jesus, and if you stop there, you didn't see it, perceive it, nor understand it. As the minister came in here to this church, and he said, you're in a church and they're teaching suffering, man, run from it. Jesus done all the suffering. Well, see, he took a truth, and he perverted it into a lie. He took a truth. Jesus did suffer for us. It is finished. It is completed. But where do we come to this revelation that we don't suffer if he done all the suffering? You see, that's there. So if we look to him and we say we're Christ-like, does that mean we're going to suffer? Does it mean we're going to be persecuted? Does it mean that we're going to be lied against? Yes, it does. So what do? Do we show fleshly animosities when it happens? Did Jesus? You see, we justify wrath and anger and fleshly attributes, and we think that we have the right. Many times we'll go back to the scriptures and we'll say, well, you know, Jesus went in there into the temple and the money changers man and he had him a whip and he ran him out. Well, I don't think he found any guile in his mouth when he done it. I don't think you saw fleshly animosity. We were witnessing there the wrath of a God that was displeased with the things going on in the house of God. The Bible says, anger, but sin not. I could tell you he didn't sin in his anger. He was angry with the wicked, yes. He was angry with the defilement of the house of God. But there's still an order and a way to deal with that. And if your anger or righteous indignation is done in love, then it's going to yield forth a fruit. But if it's done in the flesh with an animosity and a hatred, then there's going to be no fruit of it. It's going to destroy. It's going to kill. There's a proper way in all perspectives. And the flesh destroys and kills. Takes away hope. I can commend you for your exploits and your loyalty and faithfulness and things, but what about the times that you yield over to the spirit of the Antichrist or yield over to the mind of the man in the flesh? Speaking to an individual, I think, yesterday, and I said, you know, many times we think that the war is always against the enemy or Satan, and many times it's just against that old flesh man, that flesh mind. And I know it goes back to satanic when we look at it that way, when we start rending veils, but we still got to rend it into a 1, 2, 3. Just talking with you a little bit. These are things that we need to deal with on a daily basis. We need to check and listen. Verse 8, it says, he was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Could it have pleased God to do that? And you look at the hideous brutality of a crucifixion, and I said it pleased God. See, we'd have to really understand that. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Aren't you thankful that he was satisfied with that sacrifice? Amen. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressor. You know, when we read and we see the place that he took for you and I could have life, and then we come down into the New Testament and we read over there and it talks about you as a son of God, a brother in the Lord. It said that you'll lay down your life. Are you willing to? Now think about it. Examine yourself and consider, are you willing to lay down your life? Now you think in the terms like, well, am I willing to go be nailed onto a cross? The Bible says take up your cross daily. It's a crucified way. And we start differentiating a little bit. When you're willing to lay your life down, it's when you're going to lay your way down and pick up his way. What is his way? We could be as guilty as the theologians and the doctors of this theology and different things, and we could do everything to manipulate the Word of God, the Scriptures, and the mind of God into man's ways. They could understand that better. They've taken a supernatural God that his ways are contrary to man's ways, and they've watered it and twisted it, and they've rewritten their Bibles and everything around to make this God of something that they could perceive in their intellectual concepts of thought. They make him into a three-person God. Well, I can understand a person. I can understand these three sitting on the throne. You know, I could talk to them this way. But see, that's not God nor the mind of God. But this is what they've done through the years. They've taken and made this God that they could perceive and understand and comprehend him. And you'll never do that in an intellectual way. You'll never do that. Your mind will never, ever grasp the depths, the beauty, the strength of God. It's unconceivable. It's uncomprehendable in that natural state of mind. That's why he says, let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you. Not your mind, his mind. And when you come into his mind, his revelation, his thoughts, there's going to be a manifestation of it. We read these attributes that were prophesied here to come. We go in the New Testament and we read that it was fulfilled and came to pass. And we see that it was confirmed and vindicated. And we read it in the scriptures. But now we've got to go one more beyond that. We've got to take it to this third perspective of we see it prophesied, we see it fulfilled, but now we have got to bring it into a manifestation. Now we are the sons of God. Oh, but we're not coming that way, Brother Rob. We're coming in power with Him. It took power to do what He did there. It took power over the man, took power over the flesh. So oftentimes we make our struggles, our fights, our wars, and our travails, we put them outside. America's looking out over the waterways and in the other countries and saying, well, this is where we're going to be destroyed from. Man, we got to watch for these Muslim powers. We got to watch for that, but we're being destroyed from within. Why America's looking out there to find the enemy, they're being destroyed from within and within their own government, within their own schools, within their own education, within their own medical field and things being destroyed within. But I use that to talk about man. We're so busy looking out and saying, well, this is my enemy. This is where opposition is. This is that. And we're being destroyed from within with hate and bitterness and anger and strife. And it's destroying us. Well, this one made me do it. And this one because of this and because of that. You're inexcusable. We cannot justify ignorance. We can't justify wrath. We can't justify this anger and malice. Now, I know there's an anger that we don't sin in. There's a wrath of God. But I'm talking about fleshly wrath. It's different. I'm talking about there's a fleshly jealousy, and then there's a spiritual jealousy. But when you call it spiritual jealousy turn into a fleshly thing, and it brings forth fleshly attributes in you, where's God in that? It's not easy. Man, I wish this Christianity was kind of like the way the Baptists perceive it. And it is simple. I mean, it's so simple, yes. But then yet there's some perplexities and complexities that we have to conquer and get a hold of. If it was just as easy as saying, oh, Jesus, I love you. I know you're my God, and I know you came and walked among men and died for me and was resurrected. Come into my heart. It is that simple. As I say, the man and woman marry, and they fall in love, and they get married, and you say, well, what is it to have a child? You know, the marriage relationship that God's ordained and put together. You know, it's that simple. Oh, yeah, wait until you start raising it. When it's 16 years old, looking you in the eyeball with some arrogant, haughty spirit, thinking already perceived everything that there is to know. Well, yeah, it's real easy, isn't it? A lot of zip and zeal, man, bringing that kid to the world, wasn't it? And then all of a sudden, face to face, and you got to deal with the same old things. There ain't no new thing under the sun. When you think that you're something special and something different and something a little bit more of a caliber than the rest, you know, because of your vast of understanding and your wisdom and knowledge, and man, maybe you went to this church or that church and you come to this, man, you've missed it altogether. Let me tell you what going to Bethlehem did to me. It humbled me. It didn't strengthen me up to walk differently amongst people like I was better. It made me feel like I was the least. If I look at the Baptists and these, you know, I'm sorry to use that term Baptist all the time, or the Methodist or whatever, but I look down on them thinking, well, I'm so much better than you. Man, I have not come to no revelation whatsoever at all. One thing about them, I might even, maybe I could use this word envy. Envy them. Because they maybe hadn't had much given. They're maybe not as required as me. The only thing I'm speaking about is I'm more accountable and it's more required of me. And then because you chose to come sit to this church, it makes you more accountable and you're more required. And you could look at them and think that you're better than them, but you know what? They might be a little better than you because they're not having to maybe deal with some of the things that you're having to deal with. Might be a lot easier to go back over there, huh? But it don't work that way. I could see you in your calculus class in college or whatever, you know, and he's saying, you know what, teacher, professor, sir? It was sure a lot easier over there in the fourth grade. I know how to do 4 and 4, man. 8 and 8. I'm going back. Yeah, you're going to look real ignorant sitting over there. I remember after I was in high school, I went back over to my elementary school. Them toilets didn't look small, or the sinks didn't look small. The light switches didn't look low, and the mirrors didn't look low when I was there. But when I grew up, I came back and I said, wow, that's weird. But what about where you're at today? What are you looking at, and how are you perceiving life, and how are you looking at it? And you've got it all judged. They think because it's at your level. But what about what's beyond where you're at? I don't care how far you've been down this trail. I don't care if you're 90 years old. Man, there is something to look and desire. You got to come to revelation that Brother George used to speak about so often time. He made a statement, the beginning of understanding is to come to the understanding that you don't understand. Now, that's the beginning of understanding, is to understand that you don't understand. Well, that don't make sense. I know it didn't to me neither, but it makes perfect sense. Because the understanding that you've got to come to, the only way it could be revealed in you is to understand that your understanding is null and void. We read in the scriptures here about your way, and we read about his way. And the only way to walk in his way is to get rid of your way. Now, when you're trying to walk in your way, you're never going to perceive his way. But one thing I can tell you about it, you'll like your way. You know why you're going to like your way? Because it's your way. I like it my way. I like to walk in my way. I like to go when I want to go. I like to leave when I want to leave. I want to be when I want to be. I want to do this when I want to do this. And it's my way. You ever heard somebody say, well, it's my way or the highway? Yeah, you're on the highway to hell. Yeah. Have we ever stood and looked at both ways before? Maybe you're so guilty in walking in your way that you don't even see the other way. Think about it. Do you make an analyzation on a daily basis about maybe two different routes that you could take? I don't have to think about it. I just like the wind. I blow here and blow there. There's a consideration every day. If the Bible says we take up our cross daily, it's a crucified way. We're caught up on a daily basis. So there's a deciding factor every single day of your life. You know, we could come to church on Sunday and say, well, yeah, I'm going to deal with these spiritual things. And Monday, let it all hang out. A preacher down there in Georgia said not many weeks back, he said, well, you know, there's nothing wrong with going out to the ball games and the sports and doing those things. But, you know, if you go out and give a few hours to the ball game, then you need to give a few hours to God. Just keep it balanced out. What kind of ignorance is that? But the Bible says, you know, there were weight in the balances, you know, and he's talking about that balance. Yeah, you're weighed in the balance, man, and your scale's done dipped all the way down into hell. It don't work that way. I mean, that's frightening to me to hear that kind of thing coming forth from somebody that's supposed to have some kind of mind of God. Isn't that sad? Try that with your wife. If you think that works with God, try it with your wife. Hey, honey, look, I'm going to give you Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I'm going to love you. I'll give you a back massage every day, but I'm going to go spend Thursday and Friday with Lulabelle or somebody. Man, it ain't going to work, man. She's going to forget about all that good stuff on Monday through Friday. You know, this is what our concepts of God, this is where I so disagree, because people have a concept of him to be a certain way, but then when they apply it to themselves, they can't see that. They can't see it. I know we read about the scriptures about his beard being plucked, about being spit upon, and all those things. You know, we say, well, yeah, that's the kind of attributes you have to have. You got to have your wife spitting in your face continually and plucking your beard every day, and the wife the same way, so to speak. Well, I understand the scriptures and the word, but sometimes we don't rightly divide it or apply it properly. You know, in a Christian home, in a Christian way, in a Christian life, in a Christian walk, there are Christian attributes that should be coming forth from the man and the woman. We're not applying to have our beard plucked in our own household. Even though Jesus received the nails in the house of his friends, but we don't need to be applying these things in our household. Why are we having to be this way? Even though we do apply them and we have to, but what I'm saying is shouldn't be needed. Shouldn't have to. We're talking about walking in the Spirit of God. Sensitive to the Spirit of God. Are you fragile? I'm talking about sensitivity, but then also speaking about being fragile. Are you so fragile? Are you always so tore up? Do you carry a Molly Grub thing around with you? You know, an old spirit that, you know, oh, poor me, you know, man, poor me, da, da, da. Man, it don't work. I've heard people pray like that to God. Oh, Lord. Oh, God. Speak strength in your prayer life. I know we got to recognize weakness for we can find strength, and I'm not coming against that. You know, we need to understand weakness in that man and let him exercise the weakness for he could tap into the strength of the Spirit. I do understand that, but there's a balance in that. You could take that weakness over and you could carry it through in such a way that you're just getting beat up by the devil every minute of your life. You're going to have to show some strength against the spirit of the Antichrist. You're going to show strength and a strong. I found that dealing with spirits, there's many times, and I could use Brother Pike as an example again. There was sometimes I saw him and thought, my, this guy is hard. Man, I've seen men fall on their face, and I'd say literally, but I mean, I've seen men, stature a lot bigger than Brother Pike, fall on their face and weep and cry and plead to the man of God, please pray for me. Please ask God to have mercy on me. Please. And he'd stand so strong. And you'd be over there crying with him, oh, God, help him. And the preacher standing there said, why don't you just dry it up? talked about a man. He said the guy got crocodile tears. I don't know what a crocodile tear is, but he said he had the ability to turn them on and turn them off. But he seemed so hard. But he was standing not before a man. He was standing before a demon spirit that was trying to manipulate the spirit world through pity. Human compassion. There's a compassion of God. And the Bible says not to close up our bowels of compassion. But there's a human compassion. It'll destroy you, kill you, and put you in hell. And it'll get you feeling sorry for someone. You're just feeling sorry for a devil. Spirits know how to manipulate. It's a devil, and they want to come in your face and want you to feel sorry for them. You're just not fair to me. You just don't treat me right. You just don't this. And it ain't nothing but a devil. And you can't show no mercy to that because you're dealing with a demon. And you got to stand strong and not move, even though you're tore up, torn to pieces on the inside. And you're shaking before the Lord. But you can't show emotion to a demon and a devil that is killing the individual that you love. And sometimes we have to apply that same thing to our own selves. You ever pray like that? Oh, God, why me? Oh, Lord, I've done this and done that, but why? Man, I paid my tithes, Lord. I'm having troubles paying my light bill. What's the deal? Man, I shared with them when they went to Mexico. Lord God, I don't understand this. Shut up. That sounds a little strong, Brother Rob. I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to that devil that you're listening to. I don't think shut up's too strong a word to tell the devil. Shut your mouth. I'm sick of you running your mouth. I'm sick of you echoing in my ear. I'm sick of your thoughts. I'm sick of your ways. I'm sick of your lies. I'm sick of all of it. And he can be so religious too. He'll speak the word of God so clear. We're talking about discernment. We start out talking about sensitivity to the Spirit. And sensitivity to the Spirit now is discerning the voice of God, the mind of God. I'll tell you, I've dealt with a lot of people, and I have people come to me and say, well, you know, I felt the Lord wanted me to do this. And it wasn't the Lord, nowhere near it. I could use some examples, but had a man that was very benevolent, and was always benevolent, 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 always benevolent, benevolent, always giving, always helping. But it wasn't always God. You say, well, benevolence is an attribute of God. I say, yes, it is. Amen. But it's not always. Benevolence would have gave the man that wanted money to go pay his light bill. Benevolence said, I'll give it to him, pay his light bill. But there was another spirit that moved and said, no, reprove and rebuke. Go sit in the house with your kids in the dark. You know, I'm sorry they're cold, but think about it when you're going down to buy your next 12-pack. Spend your beer money on your light bill. But they spend their light bill money on beer and didn't want you to pay the light bill for you could feel justified. I know I use these things as an example. What is happening in your life? Are you a steward over your substance, your finance, your homes? Are you? Sometimes we don't feel like we've got the blessings that we should be walking in because we're not steward. What did God do? Think about it. He took one away from the guy that had one, and he gave it to the individual who already had five. So how are you going to perceive that in your carnal intellectual concepts of thought, in your benevolent ideology, so to speak? You see, God's ways isn't always your ways and your thoughts. If he's going to take away from the one that has one, that means now he has what? Nothing. Now the guy that had one, where's your benevolence in that? Where's your charity and your long-suffering in that? But he took it away from that one, and now that one guy has nothing. And the guy that already had five, he gave it to him. Now he had six. See, we need to understand God. We've got these presumptuous ideas and things of the way God is. And sometimes we just don't see it whatsoever, the way he truly is. And what he's really doing. You're not going to understand a sensitivity in the spirit world in an intellectual way. Because the sensitivity in the spirit world, a man could walk up to you and you look at him and you say, you're a wretched dog, sir. And you need to repent and get born again. And that man fall on his face and get born again. And another man come into your presence, man, and he might stink and smell and look like all the world's got. And you might grab him and say, you know what, I love you and God loves you. God wants to help you. And that man will fall on his face and get born again. Why would you deal with this one differently than the other? We're talking about sensitivity to the Spirit. God knows those things. I don't know that as a man. I shared the story with you about a man. I led him to the Lord. And man, I was in his face. I rebuked him. And he came to God, changed. He was engaged to get married to this little Catholic gal. So he thought, well, this is the way this preacher won me to God. He had a real true conversion. He really came around. And man, I was in his face rebuking him and reproving him. He was a kind of a hard-framed kind of guy, and that's the way he come in. And really had a repentance. So he thought, well, this is the way we win souls, man. And he went to rebuking and reproving this poor little old girl. She got so tore up, man, she was calling the marriage off, man. She's giving his ring back, and man, it was breaking off a marriage and everything. And I had to get this guy, I said, no, wait a minute, don't work that way. He didn't understand what worked for me. And I said, no, don't work that way. Had to explain it. So this is what happens. You might go into a service, and you see the Spirit of God move, and this guy dance across the platform. Boy, you say, man, look at that. There's the anointing of God. That's the Spirit of the Lord. So you come to church next time, I'm going to practice that. Boy, and you get to wiggling and moving and dancing across the platform. There ain't no God nowhere around it. Say, look at that in the flesh. But speaking about the sensitivity, we could be ignorant to it. We could be sensitive about this and sensitive about that. And there's people that study and give their lives to certain things. They study body language. You know, well, this guy moved this way and that guy moved that way. And he was standing this way and he was looking this way. And that means this and that means that. And they learn those things, and there's a lot of reality to it. But the spirit world is not moved by that. I can remember years and years ago ministering a message called intellectual discernment. There's a discernment that comes by the spirit, and there's one that comes by the intellect. Intellectual discernment, man, that guy looked kind of heavy today, man. You see his countenance, man, he was kind of quiet, kind of stood back. Yeah, you discern something intellectually by what you see. But spiritual discernment, it's like Brother Pike said, a man come up, shake his hand and look him in the eye and say, I love you, Pastor. And he said he felt that knife going in his spine. You see, that's spiritual discernment. If you're not sensitive to that spiritual world, you are walking far below the means that God would have you to walk in. Discernment isn't to make you better than anybody else. Discernment isn't where you could esteem yourself as a great person or a great one. Discernment could be a terrible thing to have, honestly speaking. Without long suffering and esteeming yourself least, discernment will destroy you. But then yet the Bible said these things have to be spiritually discerned. And we need discernment. We need to pray that God would grant it to us. And if it causes you a problem with resentment and hatred towards people and different things because of your discernment, then you're not a candidate for it. Discernment teaches you to love the unlovable. The Spirit of God does. But your discernment isn't going to change that fact. That's why the Bible says, do good to them that despitefully use you, to your enemies. Because the individual's not your enemy, but it's the spirit that they yield to and give place to. And it's the enemy of not just you, but of God. And you still love, and you still work, and you're still patient and gentle and kind and long-suffering. I know there's a time for reproof and rebuke, and there's even a time of cutting off, there's a time of putting out. But we want to be very sensitive to the Spirit. God's been merciful to you. Long-suffering. How long will that last? As Brother Pike told the man, he said, you know, you look and you speak about the mercies of God and the love of God and how long-suffering God is, because God's been long-suffering and merciful to you. But he said, that's going to cut off. And he said, then the judgment's going to come. And just as he was slow to anger and wrath with you, he's going to be slow to pull off the judgment. And the judgment came. Are you strong enough for the judgment? Can you endure the judgment of God? Judgment begins in the house of God. We talk about the love and the kindness, the mercy, but what about the judgment? What about the wrath? What about the anger? What about the chastening of God? We could talk about the chastening of God as long as we're applying it to the other individual, applying it over here and applying it over there. What about you? Can you endure it? So oftentimes, I'll tell you, you could find the strength. As, again, in closing thought, Brother Pike, when this minister had been following from afar off, read all the books, had the messages, had the tapes, Brother George said, nah. He goes, he's following afar off. He goes, we'll find out if he's of us, if he could come and stand under the discipline, the chastening. He didn't. I remember Brother Pike saying that, and I remember the man coming to church. I remember come sit right down in the front row. And boy, the sword come. And the sword came powerful and mighty. Brethren tried to encourage and strengthen the man, help him, give him a vision and work with him. But he's very intellectual. He understood the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ and the concept of intellect by the book reading and listening to the tapes and stuff. But he didn't know how to apply it. The revelation of Jesus Christ, the first revelation is going to come to you, is about your man, and you're going to kill him. That's the beginning of revelation. The Bible said the son of perdition must be revealed before Christ appear. So before Christ, that's the revelation, the appearing of Christ. The revelation is the appearing of Christ in you. And when he appears in you, it's because he appeared because that son of perdition, your man, your flesh, your ideas, your way, has been put out of the way. And you started walking in his way. Amen. Let's pray together that we could walk in God's way. Let's pray that we could discern our way and perceive His way and walk in His way. And His way isn't your way. Just remember that. There's things that the Lord shows me about some of you. If I'm a physician, He has to show me things. And there's things that I see. And I know that there's things that you desire and things that you're looking to and looking for. But I see sometimes obstacles that are there. I could look at you and say that I'm the flight instructor and the pilot. I look at you and I say, hey, I know what your desire is. You want to get your pilot license. Well, I want to help you in that desire. I want to help you. But then yet, if I see obstacles in the way before I could solo you, I say, now, wait a minute, man. You know, I know this is your desire, so let me solo you. Let's go out to the airport and I'll just say, here you go. Take off. Go solo. See, I could be putting you in harm's way if you're not got some of the obstacles out of the way that was making you safe to just be able to fly the airplane around the pilot or around the airport. Truthfully speaking, when a man solos, everything's ideal. Weather's good, no storms, no clouds, usually no wind and stuff. And the instructor looks it all over and says, okay, go ahead and just take it around the airport. I want you to take off and land about two or three times and come back. Okay, he done it, showed himself capable of flying the airplane by himself, but he's still not a pilot yet. He hadn't got the certification yet either. He's a student pilot. He soloed. He showed some ability, yes. But what about in adverse conditions? But again, as I say that we look and see something in that individual and say, wait a minute. I can't give him the certification to be a pilot or push him forward because he's got some obstacles in the way. So your desire is good and you want to live right and you want to do this. But if there's obstacles that are in the way. And sometimes we don't walk where we should. I was speaking about some of the individuals that make allowance. We got some young folks with us and stuff make allowance. Some been out here in some of the ball games here recently. Went off to some kind of sports basketball game or some, I don't know. Might have been a football game. I don't know what it was. You know, and they expected me to get very upset about it. Well, I don't agree with it, but they're babies. You know, I don't approve of it. I don't approve of elders coming in, or we would say to an elder, not in the spiritual dimension, but by being an elder, by being an older man, coming in and taking our youth off to ball games and stuff that when they have those problems anyway. But I'm talking about, the thing is I'm not perplexed or really vexed or grieved in my spirit because it's a lack of understanding there. Now after they come to the understanding of it and they do it, then it's rebellion. Then we got a real problem to deal with. But people are going to walk in our door that don't understand our doctrines and our things that we stand for and believe in. Sometimes when you come to this kind of a message, you'll war with some of it and think, well, I don't see it necessary. Submit to it, and then God will bring you the revelation of it. He'll show it to you, but it's going to come by because you submit to it. When I came to Bethlehem, I came out of a charismatic move and wasn't no holiness to it. When I showed up there, my wife's wearing her jeans, my kids are in jeans and different things, and man, I'd wear a short sleeve shirt. Didn't think nothing of it. But also I come to a place, man, this was not allowed. I could have rejected it. I could have fought against it. I said, you know what? Lord led me here. I need to submit to it. And I did. I submitted to it out of an obedience because I knew God sent me. I submitted to it out of an obedience, and then the understanding about it came. But if I would have rejected, the understanding never would have come. I'm not a novice in this Christian walk. Well, but I feel small, and I want to grow in the grace and knowledge of God. But I'll say this. I understand how to be successful in walking in the Spirit of God. And there's some things that's going to be required of you and I. And it's not something that we meet the criteria today, but it's something that we walk in daily. When I got a pilot certification, my father told me, he said, now, son, this is your ticket to learn. So I say, now you're a pilot. No, this is your ticket to learn. Brother Pike told me the same thing when he sent me up here to pastor. He said, you will grow in the grace and knowledge of God at the same time your congregation does. Do you think that 25 years ago, or, well, I have to go back farther now, but let's say 40 years ago, that Brother Pike was preaching with the understanding then that he, at the close, he had much more understanding. Even to some of his earlier messages and some of the earlier books he wrote, he said, no, that's got to be edited. Not so much that it was error, but he came to more precise of an understanding of it and sought more clearly to perfect it, even in a greater way, and would change the way he expressed it. It's a I told somebody the other day, sometimes you see things in a 30-fold perspective, and that's all you see, so it's right, and it is good. But when you look at it in a 60 perspective, the light's brighter, and you can see a little bit more forming that needs to be done. Get the old hammer and a chisel out and start taking away some of the imperfection. And that's where we're at in God. We're perfecting the fivefold ministry sent for the perfecting of the saints, that they could be utilized for the service and the work of God. And with that thought, yes, that's what I'm trying to do, to get you to a place. Some of you have desires to minister. Some of you have desires to be utilized for God. But sometimes there's things that you do that limit you. It's not that I limit you, but you limit yourself for the utilization of it because of your life or your lifestyle or things that you do and allowances you make. And the farther you go, the more sensitive and the more light is going to be upon you. And the more light that comes upon you, the more those little infirmities or darknesses are going to show up. Let's don't take the grace of God to lasciviousness or to make excuses for our shortcomings. Let's take the grace of God and use it for the perspective why He's being merciful and long-suffering, to open our eyes to see these things and perfect and get them out of our lives. That's what the grace and the mercy of God's for. Not to just go on and continue living in your way. As we read here, there's your way and there's His way. Quit trying to mix them. Quit trying to have both worlds. That's the lukewarm vomit, and it's the doctrine that'll destroy you and put you out. Just get rid of your way and come into His way. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and there's no other way to enter in except by Him.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is ChristianTempleOnline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.